Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. It
It's
is
late.
championship week, video
Very late.
notebook.
Very late.
Day number 15. I'm out of hands to even
Yeah.
count.
No, it's day number 1,000,000.
Pretty much, but a record here. We've never had a 15th day of championship week before. First time ever.
No, it's very late.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by
It's late.
David Griggs, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Salika, four of us night owls here up at 2:30 a.m. Eastern, although Rocco's East West Coast, so it's not as late for you up there. We got a lot to get to here, though. We are going to go over everything that happened today. We are going to preview Saturday's games. We are going to update our survival board. But we're going to start with
Update.
news and notes
Oh, okay,
and
yeah, and update our mock committee.
Update on our mock committee. We'll be coming at the, I guess we'll do that towards the end as well. But the big news today happened with two schools, Virginia and with Kansas and Rocco. They both had to pull. Virginia pulled out of the ACC tournament. Kansas out of the Big 12 tournament due to positive COVID tests. And whether or not they even can play in the NCAA tournament is still a little bit up in the air right now.
Little bit up in the air. Yeah, and I think that there's two deadlines that are coming. The first one comes tomorrow night late, which would be they if they know for sure they can't participate or they're not going to be able to pass all the minimums, which is 7 straight days of negative tests, and then a longer test in there in the middle where there's actually a second test somewhere in that 7-day period. If they feel like they can't do it and they want to let them know in time, they'll make the changes for the bracket reveal Sunday. My gut says both teams are going to do everything in their power to get a team fielded, even if it's only like 8 players. So I don't expect that. The next deadline comes Tuesday. I think it's at 6 p.m. Eastern, which would be the last chance they would have an alternate team take their spot. So again, so yeah, that's how I think the process is going to play out. I do expect both Kansas and Virginia to be able to field the team of some capacity. They may be missing a key player or two, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it will be. And David, like I said, the rules are that you gotta have 7 days of no positive tests, but you
Yes.
only have to have 5 players available. So I agree, kind of. If they have five, six, seven players that are testing positive, they may leave the rest of the team back home. But I would go,
Yes.
wouldn't you?
Yeah, they will. So it's 7 days of testing before you can enter the bubble, just like Rocker said. Now, once you arrive there, you're still not completely in the clear, especially if you're getting there before Tuesday night. You still have to be tested every day. If on like when the selection show, is that what they're calling it? The selection show. Yes, I've
Selection
heard of
show,
that before.
yes.
Yeah. It will be revealed who is in the field, and it will also be revealed. I don't know if it will be on television or not, or if they're just going to notify the schools that are on standby. There's going to be at least four, there may be more. And on top of that, each conference has a contingency. Unfortunately, we asked every conference what that contingency was. Only a few got back with us.
Right,
But if
but
there's, yeah, if
so
there's
the
change, yeah.
Yeah, but every but the goal is if it is a single bid conference, they'll go to that conference's contingency team. If
Yeah,
it's a
it won't.
multi bid conference, they'll go to their list of the top four teams out, and they'll just
And use
slide
in
into the
their play.
bracket in the team that got removed spots. So,
Right,
and
and that
one
would
team
be.
comes out, a team that missed the field goes in the one line.
And that, yeah, so if a team has to back out for any reason between Sunday and Tuesday, one of the alternate teams, for lack of a better term, will be selected. If it happens after Tuesday, the game is forfeited. I don't know what happens to the unit or the pay if a game is not played. I don't know. That's been asked, and no one's answered that
It's
question.
yeah,
So, go ahead,
that
Rocco.
was public. That was actually published somewhere. I could look it up, but I don't know what the breakdown is. They have the payout thing worked out, and they
Yeah.
actually are calling them alternate teams, so it is okay to use that term.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead and get to the action that was played today. And there was a lot of games. If we can find the screen share here, we'll be pulling it up here. But the most important thing that happened today was we had, of course, you know it, you love it,
The swag.
the giant logo of the SWAC.
Yes.
Well, that was the only thing worth
And the
talking
game of
about.
the day, probably the game of the day.
Well,
you know, the SWAC tournament's been awesome. I mean, it's been exciting games, some good storylines, a fantastic logo that can be seen from outer space, I think. Like,
I just love that logo. You could be on the center court logo and shooting a three-point, shooting a regular three-pointer. Well, let's start there then. Let's actually start there in the SWAC. I wasn't going to, but we had semifinal day in the SWAC, which the first game was the game of the day that Rocker was mentioned. Rocker, you were mentioned that Texas Southern Jackson State game. You know, we've got to talk about Michael Weathers there.
Yeah, man, he was awesome. That three-pointer, pretty improbable shot to tie from the game. From the logo, which is basically a free throw.
Which is a layup. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Texas Southern, I mean, it was a gutsy comeback. Jackson State for a lot of the last couple of minutes looked like they were going to pull away, and Texas Southern just kept fighting, and it paid off. They finally caught up and got it to OT and then won. It actually snapped a 17-game SWAC winning streak for Jackson State. They had won 12 in the regular season, one here in the tournament, and they won their last four last year. So a hell of a run for Jackson State. It's a little unfortunate we didn't get the undefeated showdown in the final, but Texas Southern like gave us all the reasons to be excited based on what happened.
And Stalika, they get Prairie View now, who didn't have, you know, like they kept rambling at arm's length today, but an interesting championship game tomorrow.
Well, this is what we typically have had, at least as far as the best matchup in the SWAC over the past 4 to 5 years between Prairie View and Texas Southern right here. So even though it's not a matchup of undefeateds, at least you have the recent blue bloods playing each other.
And most importantly, of course, it's on the giant logo.
Yeah, it's on the giant logo.
All right, let's go to a conference that did not have a giant logo. Let's start running through the rest of them here. Let's start with the ACC, where one of the two teams that got shut down was Virginia. So Georgia Tech does gets advanced to the championship game. David, they're going to be taking on Florida State, who've got a heck of a game from North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina, after getting blasted by Duke, really played well in this tournament, buried Notre Dame, beat a really good Virginia Tech team. Maybe I'm overvaluing them a little bit, Va Tech, I mean, but I was impressed with them there.
A decent Virginia Tech team.
Yeah, a decent Virginia Tech team, who I think is even a little bit better than decent, but we'll get to that when we start arguing seeding. And played a really good game today against, if not the best team in the conference, one of the best, nearly beat them. So this North Carolina team, while an unimpressive year by Carolina standards, at least compared to what they normally are, on the court right now, playing really well going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Rocco, what do you like in this game tomorrow? Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Yeah, you know, Georgia Tech had to get a really gutsy win to just beat the 13 seed Miami the other night. You know, Miami had everything to gain, nothing to lose. So different type of game now. Now Georgia Tech can do the hunting. So we'll see. I think Florida State's the stronger team, but Georgia Tech has played so well the last 3 or 4 weeks. It wouldn't be surprise me if we get a really good final coming down to the last minute or so.
Sliga, you got a pick? Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Well, we can say for certain it'll be the first time since 1990 that it won't be a team from North Carolina, since that was the last time we did not have either Duke or North Carolina in the final for that matter. But
is that
I'm
right?
Going to go ahead and go with Georgia Tech here.
Georgia
that is correct.
Tech.
Georgia Tech played Maryland. I mean, no, Georgia Tech played Virginia in the 1990 ACC championship.
Huh. Hey. Let's keep going on, and let's just go back to the giant logo.
All right, there it is. I love that logo. They wanted to play that tournament on an aircraft carrier. It wasn't big enough for the logo.
Sleek, let me stick with you over to the Big East. You are a Big East guy here, although not necessarily your teams. But start with the Georgetown-Seton Hall game, and what a win for Georgetown to just keep this – magic ride going here, and they have a shot to actually steal a bid from somebody tomorrow.
Yep, you have to go back to a 2010, which is the last time Georgetown had made it to the Big East Championship, and I want to say 2007 was the last time they actually won the conference tournament right here. So we'll have to see if this is also going to be the third day in a row that security isn't sure of just exactly who Patrick Ewing is, even if he has a jersey in the rafters.
Yeah, got the guy that pretty much helped build that building too. Rocco, the Creighton UConn game, the late game. You know, I think UConn got about 300 chances to tie or win this game late and could not get the ball through the net.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I see they only had 9 offensive rebounds for the game. I think they had over half of those in that last 20 seconds.
It
was amazing. Like how many of those shots didn't go in? They were like so. All of them were so close. Creighton, though, you know, they closed strong. I think that was the key. This game was seesaw all the way through. And that was, I think, really important because Creighton's lost a lot of close games earlier this year. So this was an opportunity for the Blue Jays to go one direction or the other when they showed up in New York this week. Obviously, a lot of turmoil with the McDermott situation. And they really turned it the right way. Obviously, they blew DePaul out of the water. This UConn team, nobody really hotter in the country. And to grind it out against a team this hot bodes well for Creighton. Now they got to finish the deal against a team that's got nothing to lose tomorrow. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. David, do you think Georgetown could beat Creighton tomorrow?
I do. I'm going to pick Creighton, but if the question is, can Georgetown win this game? Yes, they can.
Well, they can, but you don't.
Well, they legitimately, I'm going with Creighton, but only about 60-40.
Okay. You know, all right. Like that. Well, let's go to the Big 12, which was also not played on a giant logo for some reason.
Yeah.
But the Big 12 was half played. Kansas, the other team that got shut down. Texas automatically advances. But the upset of the day, Rocco, let me stick with you on this one here. Oklahoma State over Baylor.
Oklahoma State over Baylor. Yeah, Avery Anderson was tremendous in this game. Shot 7-for-11. Cade Cunningham, just amazing what he can do as a freshman. The maturity part of it, you know, there's all these great one and done guys of each and every year, but there aren't many you can compare to Cade Cunningham from a maturity standpoint, leading this team. It's two freshmen, two sophomore, and a senior in the starting lineup, and likely is a junior who plays a lot of minutes. So, just how scorching hot this team is. I mean, the fact they beat West Virginia twice in a row, then they play with, you know, not even 24 hours rest against Baylor and beat them. I mean, it's just amazing how hot they are. And they may have just played themselves up to a 2 seed.
I tell you, the 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament might be a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. That tells you a lot about this conference as well. Really disappointed we couldn't get the Kansas-Texas game.
Yeah, and listen to this. They've won, if I'm counting this right, 7 of their last 8. And this is what their last 6 games have been. Win against Texas Tech, win at Oklahoma, another win against Oklahoma, a loss to Baylor, a win at Virginia Tech, a neutral floor win against Virginia Tech, a neutral floor win against Baylor. That is a West Virginia. That's what I said. I said West Virginia. I guess that just ruined my whole point. Forget it. What the point I was making is out the window about how red hot this team is. That's more top 25 wins than a lot of teams have in the last 10 years.
Right.
This is their 6th top 25 win in 19 days. Yeah. The only team that's done it even faster from a historical perspective is UConn, who had 6 top 25 wins in 18 days back in 2011.
Well, how about making it 7 tomorrow by beating Texas?
Yeah.
Would that beat UConn's record?
Anyway,
it might. I mean, I actually kind of expect it the way they're playing. I don't see how they don't finish the job. Although Texas did play pretty well to grind out that Tech win in the opener, and they had a day off.
They didn't give a single point today.
Yeah, they had a day of that day of rest. I mean, in a 3-day event like this, is pretty important.
Yeah. In the bracket rundown shows, I said I liked the Pokes early in the year. I still do.
Let's go. Not to the giant logo. Well, why don't we keep going? David, let's go to the Pac-12 tournament tonight. Salika, let me start with you because you know that might have been a big upset, Oklahoma State. But in terms of who gets in and out of the field, what happened in the Pac-12 might be even bigger upset, as Oregon State, who had just lost to Oregon to end the regular season, pulls off the shocker in Vegas here.
Well, they lose a regular season finale, but keep in mind, Oregon State did actually beat Oregon on their home floor earlier in the year, so it's actually 2 out of 3 for the Beavers right here. They actually led by as much as a 19 in this game before Oregon was able to at least cut the deficit halfway, but I don't think they ever got closer than 5 that I could remember. So it's the first time since 1988 when Gary Payton Sr. was a sophomore, but Oregon State will have a chance to play for an automatic bid.
And this could be a second major big bid thief here. David, the late game, USC jumped out big early on Colorado. Colorado had a scare with McKinley Wright also going down, but yeah, he was able to come back in the second half and help lead the charge. And Colorado gets the win almost at the buzzer on the Deshaun Schwartz slam in there.
Yeah, it was this game kind of seesawed. It was, you know, USC up big early, then Colorado came back. I don't want to say they had a big lead, but it looked like they were in control. But then USC made that late run. Just a really good basketball game. Both these teams certainly in the NCAA tournament, in on the first ballot, probably already in, maybe already seated. But a nice win for Colorado. They normally play very well in this event. No, I think they knock off the Beavers tomorrow.
Well, Rocco, do you agree with him? Do you think the Beavers have a real good chance here of spoiling somebody's dance ticket?
I think they have a good chance. I think it's about as equal as Georgetown. I actually think they have a slightly better chance than Georgetown. Just because I think Creighton's a little bit higher caliber of an opponent than Colorado, although Colorado does play well in Vegas. I'm glad you pointed that out. And, one other thing about Colorado, they just got a 3-game sweep over USC. So it's going to be very difficult for the committee to seed USC above Colorado now if they get to that comparison. And the Beavers just played them a couple weeks back. It was a 4-point loss, really good game in Corvallis. But you got to realize there's no fans in Vegas. So even though Colorado is much closer and they usually bring a big audience, that's not in play here this year. So as good a chance as ever for an upset at this event that's usually dominated by Arizona, Colorado, and Southwest fans, it's not in play this year.
Yeah.
I don't think Wayne Tinkle will admit it publicly, but they've got to be sending thank you cards to Arizona because yes, they will not be having to play their 4th game in 4 days.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's why I think Oregon State also has a better chance than Georgetown, because this is only their 3rd day versus Georgetown's 4th day.
Good point. Great point, actually. David, Mountain West, it was semifinal day today as well. And Nevada gave San Diego State a bit of a game. Colorado State kind of gave Utah State a bit of a game, but the top 2 seeds did advance to the championship game here.
Yeah, and again, we expected Nevada to give San Diego State a game. I think some of us, myself included, were half expecting Nevada to win it. San Diego State, like, I think they're really playing well now and they're really dangerous. I was big on them coming into the year, and while they did some good things early on in November, there were times I felt like they weren't as good as I thought they were. And maybe I wasn't really fair to them. I kind of wrote them off a little bit, but I really like how they're playing now. I'm almost certain they're already in the field, probably in on the first ballot. So they don't need to win tomorrow, whether they do or don't. I think they're going to be a dangerous team next week. The real story is Utah State straddling the bubble. If they win, they're in automatically. If they lose, do they make it in or not? What do you think, Rocco? Where are they in your projections?
I mean, they're right there. Like this morning, they were the first team out. And then tonight we saw Ole Miss go down. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there was a lot of activity around the bubble. I was very impressed with Utah State tonight. They were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
They have one of the best defenses. Their metrics are really good. And that's why they've stayed in the picture, because they didn't have a good win away from home until I think we can count tonight. You know, it's a neutral win against Colorado State, a team on the board. I think this would probably get them in probably in my field tomorrow, just barely. But I do kind of expect them to be right in there to win it against San Diego State. I think they're playing at a really high level right now. They've won six in a row, and they're the only teams that could really sweep Nevada this year. And
we've got a real interesting question with what the committee does with Colorado State now as well. And they're a good team that's got to be rooting against Oregon State and against Georgetown, because I think this is a team that's right there on that cut line as well.
Right.
And I have a feeling that's they might be on the wrong side. We may be looking at two bid Mountain West, and maybe these two teams in the final tomorrow.
Yeah, it was rumored.
They also better be cheering for Houston and Wichita State.
Yeah, it was rumored. I don't know if it was true or not. And I won't put Stalica on the spot, but that Xavier was looking for another game. What they should have done was flown to Vegas and played the loser of this semifinal game tomorrow. We could have had another doubleheader.
Let's keep moving along here. Sleek, let me go to you as we jump over to the Big Ten, where it was quarterfinal round day. Which began with Michigan taking care of Maryland.
Fireworks during
with some significant fireworks involving Juwan Howard getting ejected after Mark Turgeon may or may not have said some pretty nasty things to him.
Well, Chad, I can break this down for you. What happened was, I don't know which one said it, but someone said something very inappropriate, derogatory about the SWAC logo. Can we get a picture of it here? And then that just blew up. Oh, hell no, you're not going to say that about the logo. The teams needed to be separated. That's what started it.
Yes, they thought it was too big. If anything, it's too small.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But Salika, Michigan does find a way to win that game, and they're going to get Ohio State tomorrow, who played held off a huge Purdue comeback to win in overtime.
Well, let's not forget, Michigan also dug themselves a hole early against Maryland, where they were down 12 points in the first half before they came back. And ultimately, all we're talking about in that game was the kerfuffle between Turgeon and Howard. But by the same token, Ohio State got out to an early lead, finally found a way to beat Purdue. So Buckeyes obviously are going to be looking for revenge in this one.
It's a huge rivalry here. Rocco, Seth Townsend, Dwayne Washington were the key in overtime for Ohio State. I really think getting by Purdue, but now Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow.
Ohio State, Michigan, last game. I mean, one of the best games of the year. A fantastic game. Michigan was able to pull it out at the end. I do think Ohio State's shown a little bit more vulnerability lately. Today, collapsing with an 18-point lead. Able to pull it out at the end, but still leaking some oil there. I expect Michigan to control this one and probably win by about eight or so would be my prediction on that.
Yeah. David, on the bottom half of the bracket there, Illinois pretty much rolled my Rutgers team. Iowa, though, with a tough, hard-fought win over Wisconsin to set up an Illinois-Iowa semifinal.
Yeah, a little more trouble than I thought that they would have, and a lot of credit to Whiskey for playing a really good game. One of the better games of the year, at least from what I've seen, despite the fact that they lost. Michigan-Ohio State, I thought that this was almost – or, I'm sorry, Ohio State-Purdue. I thought this was almost a microcosm of the season for both teams, where Ohio State is just on fire early, but then they started to slide at the end, kind of like how they've slid down. They've gone on a slide the last few weeks. Purdue fell behind early, but caught fire at the end, kind of like they have at the end of the season. So I just wanted to work that in there. But Illinois, Iowa, number one seed implications here, perhaps for both teams. Another question for Rocco: if Iowa wins this and knocks off Illinois and Michigan, do they jump to the one line? I think they do. And at least on our mock committee, I would motion them up if they win this tournament.
Yeah, getting that head-to-head win against Illinois, I think, would be really big for Iowa here. They only met once in the season, 5-point win for the Illini. This would be on a neutral court and right here at the end of the year. The thing Iowa also has is the 10 wins against the board, against the projected field, actually, not just the board. And that would give them 11 and with an exclamation point. And then I think the committee will probably wrap up their work before the Big Ten final and just already know who that fourth one is. I think they make that decision after the Iowa-Illinois game, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Rocco. The biggest number as far as whether or not Iowa can get a one seed is that 3:30 p.m. start time for the Sunday game.
Well, it's not a hard sway. They're both in the same conference. They're both going to
right.
It wouldn't be hard to build.
It wouldn't be hard, but I kind of agree with Rocco. I don't know that when the Big Ten championship game does not have automatic bid implications, I don't know that's necessarily going to change much, because also
two words, contingency brackets.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep things rolling here. We just haven't seen it over the years. It's not something we've seen.
But I will say Illinois is my pick to win the game regardless. They're a buzzsaw, and Iowa's kind of banged up. I think they could roll, actually.
All right. Let's keep rolling over to the SEC. We want to talk about rolling. How about those Rolling Tide, Rocco? They crushed Mississippi State, and they move on to play Tennessee, who suddenly looked like a quality team again out of nowhere.
Well, I think playing in Tennessee in this tournament's helping them. I think there's a factor. There's some fans in there. You know, I heard them during the game, and they also got a little bit of a scuffle in that Tennessee Florida game, and Fulkerson got hurt. Took a blow to the head. He's in concussion protocol, and he's probably not playing tomorrow against Alabama. But right from that moment, it was a really close game. Tennessee took it over, and I read some of the post-game articles, and they definitely took that as a moment of anger, and they channeled it the right way and blew the Gators out from there. And Alabama, like you said, I mean, ever since they got down in the first half against Georgia on Saturday last week, and they just totally flipped the script on that game and came back and won by 10. They've just been a nonstop buzzsaw. It's just such a fun offense to watch flow. You know, it just doesn't matter who gets it. But Alabama themselves, a tough injury today as well. I believe Primo went down, and they have to monitor his health. I'm pretty sure he won't be playing tomorrow either.
If you see the video of that incident, if you haven't already, I must admit, he did not really get very much of the ball on that hard foul.
Yeah, not even close.
The ball was about 50 feet down the floor.
Yeah, I don't know that Omar Payne is going to be playing again his next game for Florida there. So the bottom half of that bracket, though, Salika, Arkansas gets by Missouri, and LSU in a squeaker gets by Ole Miss.
That's going to be the battle of the boot right here, where Missouri actually was playing Arkansas pretty closely, but the Razorbacks blew that open with a 10-1 run midway through the second half. So Missouri never seriously threatened after that. But Ole Miss, that loss is really going to hurt them, because they had some, they're still on the bubble. And a win against South Carolina, not quite going to be enough in and of itself. And now they're really going to be at the mercy of the aforementioned teams of Georgetown and a couple teams in the American, as well as Oregon State.
Right on the cut line.
Yeah, Ole Miss. I want to see them make it, but I, on the other hand, I think Bid Thieves they may be below that Colorado State that we just discussed in the Mountain
West. Yeah, which is they really played well today. They've really shown moments of being good throughout the year, just not as many moments as they needed. I do think had they found a way to win this game, which they almost did, they'd be in. Right. But right now, it's going to be close.
Do we have predictions for tomorrow? Rocco, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU. Who advances?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama, Tennessee, I guess it's fair. They're both missing a key player. It's in Tennessee. Alabama just played so well today. It's hard to see them dropping off that much tomorrow. I'll take the Tide. And then I'm going to stick with Arkansas. I think they're just a more mature team than LSU. LSU, the wheels can fall off at any moment. Unfortunately, it didn't happen today for Ole Miss's sake. But if you've been following LSU's season, it's such a roller coaster. I can't see them stringing two good wins in a row together. So yeah. I feel like it's going to fall apart tomorrow.
I like how Arkansas has been playing.
That's the kind of team that will do it to you.
Yeah, and you know, they didn't exactly like dominate Mizzou today, but Mizzou is really good. And I mean, this is a team that's really going at 100 miles an hour right now.
Absolutely.
It was also quarterfinal round day in the American, and the big game was almost the one that was very costly for Wichita State. They were down the entire way to South Florida. Found a way, though, David, to steal that thing at the end. And that's all.
And it's
advance, right?
Yeah. It's a good thing they did. They did survive. They did advance. They were a team that our mock committee had already put into the field, but
They could have been back on their way out. If
while it's set in concrete, it's set in wet concrete. Like, they could have been removed. I suppose they still could. They probably won't now. But that was sort of, they dodged a bullet that was fired at their heads when they pulled that one out, because they almost lost it. I think they're safe at this point. I really do, even if Cincinnati beats them.
Yeah, Stalika, SMU, a team that people were looking at the bubble with a very blank but nothing bad profile. They've been shut down so long. They do fall to Cincinnati. SMU tried to rally late, but just didn't have enough in them. I think that's it for SMU. And Cincinnati, another potential bid thief, although they're still two wins away.
Yeah, it certainly didn't help SMU that they were off for about 2 to 3 weeks going into the conference.
More like 2 to 3 months.
So it wasn't like they had any, they didn't have any soft warm-up games to really get them acclimated for tournament play right here. But here's Cincinnati, who's been more down than up this year. But if they can beat Wichita State, look out.
Yeah, and Rocco, Houston and Memphis, it gets a little bit of a tough battle from UCF for Memphis, but I think we got a hell of a semifinal in the late semifinal tomorrow here.
Oh yeah. And you know, Memphis wants a big piece of Houston after what happened last Sunday. I've been actually texting back and forth throughout the week with one of the folks at Wichita State about this. And I mean, even from the Wichita State side, they're very excited to see what happens in this rematch. I think it's going to be as advertised. Memphis, you know, very quietly has the number two, actually right now, in this moment, they went up to the number one defensive efficiency in the nation on KenPom, past Loyola Chicago. And so, I mean, they're just getting really after it on the in ball pressure, and they can really take away Houston's strengths. I think it's a great matchup. It's going to be a fun game.
I really think it will be too. And the other game, Wichita State, Cincinnati, I think Wichita State's the better team, but if they play like they did today, they could be in trouble.
Yeah, and in short, yeah, Cincinnati needs to win to keep their season alive. I think Wichita's in. I think Houston is in. If Memphis wins tomorrow, Rocco, are they in?
I don't know that they're in, but you'll have to look at it real close, because the metrics for Memphis keep getting better by the minute.
Yeah.
And that would give them a landmark win on a neutral court. So I can't say yes or no, but I think it gets really interesting.
Yeah. Over in the Big Sky,
there is one coach I would trust in a conference tournament. It is John Brannon.
Yeah. Over in the Big Sky Conference, it was semifinal day as well, and we love the Southern Utah story this year. But congratulations to Montana State. Fought them hard all the way, got the overtime victory, and they move on against Eastern Washington, who completely demolished Montana tonight. Rocco, let me ask you on this one here. Eastern Washington, Montana State. I think Eastern Washington should win this one, and he win it easily. But Montana State showed a lot of heart so far in their two wins this tournament.
They did. Yeah, they're fighting hard, and it's a different team than we saw towards the end. The last two times Eastern played them, they played them in Bozeman and destroyed them both times, which, you know, Eastern, I think it's a really good matchup. But those were also two of the games where Eastern started off like today, where they just got a gigantic lead out of the gate. Yeah. Their offense is so fun. And I just, you know, I'm a little partial to them. I have a family member who's graduating there this year, and he's really into it. So I would love to see him make the tournament. And I think they could actually put a scare into somebody. Whereas Montana State, it'd be cool to see him make it, because they've been through a lot of turmoil in the last few years. But I don't know that they can make much noise in the tournament like Eastern could.
Right. Over in the Big West, it was semifinal day as well. David, UC Santa Barbara didn't have much problem at all with UC Davis, and Irvine was close for a little while with Riverside, but they pulled away as well, setting up what we wanted, the top two seeds.
Yeah.
It should be a hell of a game. Irvine swept Santa Barbara this year too.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the Gauchos, I think, is who we thought we were the best team, but I mean, there was a 24-hour period where they were not, where the Eaters beat them twice. So the most compelling matchup, like no game in this tournament, except for maybe that Cal Poly Fullerton game, has really, you know, gone down to the wire, been any sort of a classic, but tomorrow's might be. It's a late tip. I think it's the last championship game of the day to tip. You will want to stay up and watch.
Well, wait a second. The Bakersfield Davis first round game was an amazing game. So I'm going to call you out on that one.
That was so long ago. That was several weeks ago.
That's the Big West final here at Salika. Conference USA is also on to the finals tomorrow. Western Kentucky survives UAB. North Texas survives Louisiana Tech.
Well, I know Rocco's been on the horn as far as North Texas here, so at least they're up to the championship round right here in Western Kentucky. There's a slight possibility they could have been considered at large about 2 weeks ago, but they've actually been playing with a sense of urgency in the conference tournament, even though they were down for quite a bit against UAB. But I could still see the Hilltoppers winning come tomorrow.
Yeah, UAB just played so well today. They had a bloated record. They'd look good at times, but the vast majority of their wins came against teams that were not of the caliber of Western Kentucky, but really gave the Toppers a little bit of a scare today. And WKU clearly looks – I mean, they clearly have the best profile, and at times they've looked hands down like the best team. But North Texas has it in them to win this tomorrow. I think with Western, but North Texas could beat them if WKU plays like they did today.
Right. If Charles Bassey could take over the game like he did late against UAB today, also that could be the difference. Rocco, Metro Atlantic, the conference where even number seeds cannot win games. They went 0-5 in this conference tournament, and one of the weirder, amazing stats of out there. And the number 9 seed is taking out the number 7 seed, although the second best team in the conference is playing in the championship game, correct?
I think that's probably true, and I think they're proving it. They're playing lights out. At least they did for about 35 minutes today, and then Niagara made it interesting at the end.
Well, going the last 9.5 minutes without a field goal doesn't really help if you're Iona.
That's right. You want to win 9.5 minutes. That's what it was. Yeah, crazy. But Iona's got some freak athletes. I mean, a couple of those guys can really leap. And, that's a difference maker when you're playing teams like Niagara and Fairfield. The Siena had the athletes to match, but Iona already passed that test. And the beauty of passing the test against the top team right out of the gate, you basically assume the 1 seed. And that's what I think Iona did here at Boardwalk Hall. Fairfield, I don't know what's going on, how they got so good overnight. They were, I thought, one of the worst teams in the league all year.
That first round game they played against Manhattan. Yes. We watched that game and we said they won it. They have no shot of winning another game. That was such an awful looking game.
Yeah, it was awful. And now all of a sudden they blow out Monmouth. I don't know where that came from. And another grinder was St. Peter's, first 1-50 wins, and they got it done.
Can they do it? Can they take down Iona?
I don't think so, but I probably picked against them the last 3 rounds and I was wrong in all 3. So wrong person to ask.
And we got a shot here. Rick Pitino might be going back to the NCAA tournament. That'll be a storyline. Even if he's a 15 seed, it gets blown out. It's going to be a storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, with another team. Did he ever get there when he was with Boston U? A little before my time.
He got there with Providence, with Kentucky, with Louisville.
Louisville, and now with Iowa.
Get there with BU in the early 80s.
Yeah, it's just very unusual to see a coach take 5 different teams to the NCAA tournament. So unusual, I can't think of anyone else that has done it. That doesn't mean that it hasn't been done, but it isn't something you see too often. Right.
John, let me go back to you here for the Mid-American Conference, which saw the beginning first game was Ohio. I don't think it was even as close to that 87-70 final, that 87-80 final over Toledo. They were my pick, at least, to win this tournament. They looked that way today, didn't they?
Not terribly surprising, considering Toledo had a bit of a rocky finish to the season, losing at, I think it was Central Michigan, who didn't even qualify for the MAC tournament, and they had to literally survive against Ball State right here. So Rockets, they haven't gone to the tournament since, I want to say, 1981, and that drought is still going to continue.
Yeah, and David, they get Buffalo in the championship game. Buffalo with a nice overtime win over Akron. tonight here, and I think it's gonna be a fun championship game.
It really will be. I just like this Ohio team. The fifth place finish is not indicative of how good they are. Like, when this team is at full strength, they're dangerous. Let's not forget, like, how good they looked at the beginning of the year and how good they're looking at the end. Parts of the middle were kind of rocky, but they're going strong now. Buffalo good too.
Well, Rockland's Buffalo seems to be red hot, actually.
Yeah, 7 in a row. They're ranked 59 in KenPom now, skyrocketing in KenPom, and just that one example. And I think if we had an under-the-radar show, we might have all four of these semifinalists in the top 10.
Yeah.
That's how good they all are right now. I think it's going to be a great game. Buffalo just pounded them by 20 in the season finale, and that was in Ohio. But you throw all that stuff out the window. This is now neutral court, one bid league, everything on the line. I think it's going to be a showdown. Buffalo just had a classic today in overtime. I think it's going to be pretty similar.
It was MEAC semifinal day. Now, because of North Carolina and T, we discussed this last night, they were shut down due to COVID. Norfolk State advanced to the championship after they won their quarterfinal on Thursday. But Morgan State, Coppin State was close for about a half, and then Morgan State, as I kind of expected, actually pulled away, because I kind of thought that Coppin – never really thought Coppin State was as good as these other two teams. Yeah. And even though it's the North 2 and the North 3 seed, and they probably were the third and fourth best overall records in the conference, David, I think we have the best two teams in the conference in the championship game.
I would agree with that. And I'm going to go with Norfolk State, but I think you're right about having the two best.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good game here, actually. Morgan State, a little suspicious after they lost the game to became the only team to lose to Delaware State in their regular season finale. Yeah. But that's the MEAC. But John, let me jump over to you here for the Southland Conference. And it's still something wrong on the screen here, though. Let's fix it. There we go.
Had the regional championships today.
John, what did you think about the Louisiana regional championship between Nicholls and Northwestern State?
Well, we had picked a Nicholls State from the get-go to win this, so they've pretty much held up their half of the bargain. And I think, as Chad feared, ever since Sam Houston State got upset early in the Texas region, it cleared the way for Abilene Christian to actually win on the Texas half of the bracket easily.
I don't know where they're playing the game now that we're out of the regional round, but Rocco, Nicholls and Abilene Christian, I think we could be in for a good one, although I think Abilene's a better team.
Yeah, and I think Abilene tonight was the first time in over a month they had been at full strength. I forget which player it was, but they got one of their big starters back, and man, they were lights out from the opening tip against Lamar. Just a huge front line for Abilene and really good guard play. Top 100 KenPom team in the Southland is not something you see every year. I think this is their title, and I think Abilene doesn't even have to play a great game and they can still beat Nicholls.
Right. David, maybe if we need somewhere to play it, we could just play it on the Giant logo.
Yeah, I know. We could play it. We could play the MEAC title on the Giant logo.
David, the WAC we had last conference that we have to address that played today. We saw the Lopes crush Seattle, and New Mexico State took care of Utah Valley fairly easily too.
Yeah, if you like boring basketball, then this was the semifinal day for you. It sets up what promises to not be boring. Even if it's boring, it won't be boring. Grand Canyon, New Mexico State do not like each other. At least I don't know how the players feel, but the fans certainly don't. And I'm just glad we get to tune in to Twitter tomorrow and watch these two go at it. That's as good as
you can also turn it to ESPN to watch the actual game too. But Salika, do you have a pick in this game?
Well, I picked that the game is going to be a little bit easier to watch than New Mexico State and Utah Valley was earlier today. But
streaming issues.
I'm going to say Grand Canyon is going. Yeah, I'll say Grand Canyon actually makes their NCAA tournament debut this year.
Yeah, New Mexico State has more talent, but they slipped up a few times too many, I think, even once they got back on the court.
I'm going with New Mexico State. I think they're playing better now than they have at any point. I think a lot of their struggles were more circumstantial than anything else, and those circumstances have been worked out. Having said that, it would be a good story to see Grand Canyon in there. You almost wish that their tournament debut would not come in a year where that's being under the cloud of COVID, because this is a fan base that wants this bad, and you kind of wish they could have the whole experience of it.
Well, one more conference to get to. It's been off for a week. But Rocco, I think at the time we're recording this, it's going to be starting about 10 minutes because it feels like it's an early tip on Saturday here. But it is America East Championship Day. We will have a first-time entrant ever into the NCAA, the winner of UMass Lowell at Hartford.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting game. I think Hartford might have a little bit more talent, but UMass Lowell throws some really tricky defenses out there that's been working for them, really paid off down the stretch to come back and beat UMBC. I don't want to count them out. I think there's a little bit of magic going on for both of these teams. I just expect a really good game and two teams that are like not really used to that spotlight. So, hopefully we see a high level game instead of, unforced errors and things like that.
Yes, I think it should be a fun game. And that is the first game of the day here, 11 a.m. Eastern tip. Let's run to our survival board here because it's getting very late. And this is the board where we track how many teams are left with a chance to win it all. And heading into the day today, we had 113 teams left with a chance to win the national championship. As a result of today's games, we are down to 91 teams.
Only 11 coming off, despite all of today's action. Well, okay, 22 coming off. That's a fair amount. But many games played today among, and you see this around Thursday, Friday of championship week, they're not all elimination games. But 91 teams.
We're getting very close to that 68, though, now.
Yeah, and 91 are still playing. Some are already in. The teams in bold are already in.
The teams in bold and all caps are locks. They've won their automatic bids. The teams in regular bold are teams that we've told the selection committee
they need to select.
Yes, if they don't
select. So they're locked. If you're in bold, you're locked.
If you're a normal type, you're still alive for a bid, but you have to win an automatic bid, such as Georgetown right here in the middle of the page.
Yeah, so it's either all or nothing. They win tomorrow or they're out.
And if you're in italics, like Stalika's Xavier team, although he doesn't believe that they should be in italics, he thinks they're done already, it's a team that the committee should at least be discussing and debating.
Yep.
All right.
I think at this point, the only reason we'd even be discussing them is because we're going to be looking for about four or five alternate teams, and even that's pretty sus.
We also, our Hoops HD mock committee continued meeting today, and we're going to show you the updated board here from our mock committee. As you can see, we actually voted a few more teams in, including Louisville, VCU, and UCLA. They have all gotten into our field, and we started with the seating. We have eight lines of seating done, from Gonzaga, number one, all the way down to Rutgers at number 32.
Yeah, one of the story, when you look at the one line, there isn't that much to tell, but New Mexico State, we've got them all the way up on the two. Now, this is our mock committee.
David, we do not have New Mexico State on the two line. It's
I said Oklahoma State. It's late, Chad. I'm confused now. Again, we're not trying to guess the actual committee, but when you look at what they've done, they've basically put together a two-seed level profile in just 18 days.
Well, Rocco, do you think Oklahoma State really is there? We put them on the two line. Do you think they're a two seed now?
I put them in that number eight spot as well, just as a placeholder. I got to verify all of it once the data is available. But, the only thing holding them back is the two TCU losses. That's it. But they've done so much good. And the weight of the Baylor win on a neutral court. Like, Kansas beat Baylor, but they beat them at home. This is even better. So, yeah, I think two seed makes definitely a lot of sense here. My gut says yes.
Okay. And Villanova, not a protected seed in the Hoops HD mock committees.
At the moment, there's scrubbing and changings, and we should have everybody seated in one way or another by tomorrow night. We'll update you on that as well. But let's jump to our feature.
All right.
It's our hot seat feature. These are coaches that are on the hot seat from, we've discussed John Calipari all the way down to Mitch Barnhart, who could be on the hot seat for his job as selection committee chair after this season.
Yeah.
He might be off the committee after this season for all we know.
He might be.
This is a guy that
was at the I want to get back to Nick Saban. Why? I want to get back to Nick Saban because I think after Alabama's performance today, I think he should be able to come off because he gave one whale of a pregame speech.
Well, his issue is that with, you know, when you look at what Nate Oates is doing, people just aren't going to care about Nick Saban and the football team anymore. I mean, they run that risk.
That's right.
And he's just going to be on the hot seat.
Right. Oates took over Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Well, he did. Let's take a look who's on the hot seat tonight here. And this is a guy who's been a long time. He once was one of the great coaches of all coaches, babe. But how long has it been since he's won a championship? It's John Wooden.
John Wooden on the hot seat. Are you sure about this one, Chad? I don't know.
When was the last time John Wooden won a championship? I mean, he won like 3 million in a row with UCLA and then gone. Yeah, it's like he retired or something.
Well, and I must say, when you look at what is going on at UCLA right now and you look at what Mick Cronin is doing – Mick Cronin did a good job at Cincinnati, so this can't be his fault. And you just start to have to think that what John Wooden had built there was a sandcastle. It just has never been the same since he left.
John Wooden on our hot seat. Oh, we got one more of these tomorrow. I don't know if we can be.
I don't know how you can top that when you put John Wooden on the hot seat.
Let's run to final thoughts, John.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough for a John Wooden because at least all the other coaches are still alive to defend themselves to some degree. So I don't know who's going to stick up for a Wooden here.
Nearly everyone.
Rock, are there any other thoughts from you tonight?
Yeah, one final thought. I think you guys know by now I'm a big fan of the Bid Thief, and tomorrow is a big day. You know, if we hit the trifecta, we'll make sure that Utah State gets in with if they win. And then obviously the two big ones, the real Cinderellas, the Beavers and the Hoyas. If that happens, it actually makes life a lot easier as a bracketologist. I can easily say goodbye to Ole Miss and Syracuse, and I can probably say goodbye to Colorado State. And then I could feel good about finally putting Louisville and UCLA in their rightful first four spots. And I think it would all kind of work out the way they deserve it. So let's pull for those three.
Yeah. All right. Dave, do you want to finish the show off?
Not on the happiest of notes. I just hated to see that what happened at Kansas and what happened at Duke and certainly what happened at Virginia. And you just really it was sort of like a reminder after what was a great day on Thursday that we're still living in a COVID world and that the possibility is perhaps a probability that we're also going to see it next week. I'm going to hate it for whoever it happens to. If it does happen, I'm really hoping it doesn't, but it's just sort of, it could, and there's contingencies in place. There's plans in place. I don't think that the tournament will be shut down. I think that they will in one way or another complete it, but it's going to be different than what we're used to. It's not going to feel – a lot of things are going to feel different about it. It might not really have the same integrity or fairness. If fairness is a better word. It might not have that the way that it normally does. But, I'm just hoping we get through it and finish it and that the season of hell is behind us.
Yeah, we never want another season like this, that's for certain. But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, check him out at Bracketeer.org, John Salica – I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us for our second to last video notebook of the season. We'll be back with our final video notebook at some ungodly hour tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Until then, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.